Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to You all hearts are open, all desires known, and from You no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of Your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love You and worthily magnify Your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
With You.
Also with You.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which You have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Daniel. At that time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish, such as has never occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many into righteousness like the stars forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifice that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." He also adds, "I remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil consciousness and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of the hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, "What large stones and what large buildings!" Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our gospel reading today comes from the 13th chapter of Mark. Some people like to call it the little apocalypse, because Jesus talks about the end times, and a lot of the things he talks about is also found in the book of Revelation. Our story starts today with Jesus walking out from the temple with the disciples out into the city. And he's a little bit dejected. He's a little bit sad. He's a little bit depressed. Things aren't quite right. And I think maybe this mood might have been part of what caused him to start talking about these things with the disciples. Now, I think it's important for us to maybe go back in time a little bit to find out what brought us to this point. Jesus' 3 years of ministry of wandering around the countryside are over. He's been preaching the good news, preaching the kingdom of God. He's been preaching, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he's trying to get the point across that it's important, as important as the rituals are in the Jewish religion, we need to bring back the spirit side, have compassion on one another, and love one another. 2 days ago in his world, he rode the colt into Jerusalem, the day that we celebrate on Palm Sunday. Rode triumphantly into the city and went with his disciples to the temple. And it was very late in the day, and there was nobody there to engage him. I think that made him a little sad. I think that was the beginning of the part of the sadness that I talked about. That he and the disciples had decided they were not going to spend each night in the city. They were going to go outside and spend the night in the small town of Bethany near the Mount of Olives. So they turn around and walk back out of the city and take that walk back to Bethany. Spend the night, next morning, they come back into the city. Jesus goes to the temple, and this is where he finds the money changers and the people selling doves, right there on the edge of the temple. And that upsets him greatly. And it's not so much what they were doing, because Jews were coming all around the world to come and be part of Passover, and they needed to have their money changed, and they needed to buy doves for sacrifices. But it wasn't supposed to be here at the temple, like it's right there, that the whole thing about forgiveness of sins is just a transaction on the edge of the temple. They needed to be able to buy those things away from the temple and carry their doves to the temple and being very penitential and looking for forgiveness of sins from God. Jesus is sad that his preaching over the last 3 years has not transformed this whole idea of the ritual is more important than the spirit. Once again, at the end of the day, he and the disciples walk out of the city to go back to Bethany to spend the night. And they come back in the next day to the city. They go to the temple, and the religious leaders are there to engage him. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the scribes are all there. And they're not there to engage him in a good kind of way, like let's exchange ideas, let's see how we differ, what can we learn from each other. No, they don't like Jesus. They see Jesus as somebody upsetting the apple cart. They want to find a way to trap him. They want to find a way to arrest him, hopefully turn him over to the Romans so that he can be executed. And they ask him questions. They ask him political questions. They ask him theological questions. And they ask him legal questions. And he answers all of them, and they're not able to trap him. And he has bested them. But that is not what he wanted. If you and I had done that, we'd be maybe happy how we bested the religious leaders. But that was not Jesus' goal. He was hoping to talk with them and transform them from being so caught up in their religious practices and learn and practice the spiritual side of the religion. So here we are back to the story where we started. He's walking out of the temple with his disciples. And he's sad, and he's dejected, and he's depressed a little. And one of the disciples comes to him, and I like to think it was Andrew, because Andrew's mentioned later in the story. So Andrew comes over to him and sees how depressed he is. And so he's going to try to cheer him up. And he says, Jesus, look at this marvelous temple with the large stones. It's a architectural marvel, isn't it? Fantastic. And Jesus becomes even sadder. And Andrew can see that in his face. And he says, Jesus, why is this making you sadder? And Jesus reaches over, puts his arm around Andrew and says, Andrew, I've got more bad news. This temple is going to be completely destroyed. Every stone is going to be gone. And Andrew says, what? He says, yes. Everything's going to be gone. And he said this loud enough for the other disciples to hear, and they're in shock. And they walk quietly back out of the city, back to the Mount of Olives. And I can only imagine what's going through their head. I'm thinking that they're in disbelief that their God would let the temple, his temple, the temple of his chosen people, be destroyed, and all the pain and suffering that would come along with it. How is that possible? Where is God in that? They get back to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus sits down, and is facing the city and the temple. And Andrew and John and Peter and James, they come and sit around next to him. And they say, Jesus, when is this going to happen? And Jesus, seeing their distress, knows he needs to minister to them a little bit. And he talks to them and says, do not be led astray. Do not let your faith waver by having this knowledge. And do not be alarmed. And they go, Jesus, how can we not be alarmed for this going to be happening? And Jesus said, even more bad things are going to happen. We're going to have earthquakes. We're going to have famines. We're going to have war. And again, they ask, how can we not be alarmed? And Jesus said, this is going to be the way of the world, unfortunately. It's something that we're going to have to live with the pain and suffering. But the good news is, in the long game, there's a fantastic ending. It will all end good at some point in time. But we are going to have to travel through this pain and suffering to get there. And Jesus is speaking to us as well. He's telling us not to be led astray and not to be alarmed. But how can we not be alarmed with what's going on in this world today with all the pain and suffering? With the hurricanes and the raging fires and the mass shootings and the wars and the genocide and all the things that are happening to all the people and the pain and suffering. And Jesus is telling us, do not be led astray. Do not lose your faith. Do not lose your path. Stay on the path, because there will be a good ending down the road. And don't be alarmed. And he's not saying be callous about it, because he wants us out there in the world helping the people that are suffering this pain. But he's telling us that we have to accept this is the way it is. He doesn't explain to us the mystery of why it has to be. In our reading in Hebrews, the author gives us some good advice that slides right along with this. One of the things he says is to approach God and approach one another with true hearts, with a clean conscience, with no malintent. He says, hold fast to your hope of your confession. And to me, what that means is to hold fast to what I say in the Nicene Creed. Hold fast to my belief in the resurrection. Hold fast to my belief that there is a good ending somewhere down the road. And the third thing we get from the reading from Hebrews is live in community with each other and provoke one another. And I like that word provoke. Provoke one another to do good deeds. We need to poke at each other and cause each other to do good deeds. So there are five things in there that I've talked about, and there's way too many things to ask you to remember. But it's all in your bulletin. Take your bulletin home. Two of them are in the gospel reading. Three of them are in the Hebrews reading. But God says, don't be led astray. Don't lead yourself astray. Stay on the path. Don't be alarmed. Approach each other with a true heart. Hold fast the confession of your hope. And if you lose your bulletin and you only remember one thing, remember this last one. Live in community with each other and provoke one another to do good things. Amen. Please join me in saying the Nicene Creed, which can be found on page 10 in your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people are found on page 11. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be unified in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for those on our prayer list. Margaret, Steve, Nicole,
Courtney and Jacob, Blair, John and John, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Ryan and Haley, Faye, Rachel, Regina, Irene, June, Michael, Laura, Baylor, Shay, Ben and Pat, Doug, Alberta, Tom, Jane, Tommy, Zach, Chuck and Betsy, Michael, Clara, Georgina, Joyce, Sarah, Bill, Martha, Shane, Judy, Jean, Richard, Jackie, Alan, Pat, Orin and Ray, Raphael, David, Randy, Scott, Judy, Jeff, Alan and Barbara, Patricia, Norma, Elaine, Sherry,
Lord, in your mercy, send your spirit upon this congregation and its leaders to call a new rector and prepare our hearts to receive this person. Lord, in your mercy, turn us unto your ways, O God, and grant us courage to encounter new paths. Lord, in your mercy, turn us unto your ways and make us lovers of all, opening our arms to embrace our neighbor's needs. Lord, in your mercy. Are there other intercessions? We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Kelly Simon, Elaine McKeon, Scotty McKeon, and Ralph Maples. We give thanks for those celebrating an anniversary this week, especially Betsy and Chuck Carpenter. Lord, in your mercy, we commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Also with you.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
For the beauty of the universe.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for by water and the Holy Spirit you have made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord, to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. To you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ and bring us to that heavenly country where with Jude, Thaddeus, Mary, St. Francis, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Because we are soon to celebrate Thanksgiving, a most holy holiday in the United States, instead of the usual post-communion prayer, I ask that you get the Book of Common Prayer. We still use these when we can. Most are red or black. And turn to page 836. And while you're looking for page 836, one thing I failed to mention is that if you have the time and are interested in becoming a Eucharistic visitor, and by the time I mean we would prefer that you take the elements right from the altar on Sunday to someone who is bedridden or shut in at home on Sundays. If you're interested, if God is calling you to that ministry, please see me. Together, accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends, and for the love and care which surrounds us on every side. We thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience by which he overcame temptation, for his dying through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit, that we may know him and make him known, and through him, at all times and in all places,
may give thanks to you in all things. Amen.
May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Savior, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you today and remain with you forever. Amen. Go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God.